Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother Celebrity Edition, Celebrity Big Brother, CBB US, live feed update. It's February 10th, and it's a Saturday, so I've got the wonderful Liana Boris here with me. How are you doing, Liana?
I am great. I have been chomping at the bit to talk about this season. I'm so excited. Watching it ravel has just been amazing, and I am ready to talk about it on this Saturday.
All right. We are live on YouTube. I tweeted out the YouTube link. I think the page for Rob as a podcast is not currently up at the moment. So I don't think we have a chat right now. But we know that you're there. We you can't speak to us, but we have faith.
That's right. Yes. So much faith. We believe in you, much like Meta World Peace believes that people will hold up their end of the deal and send him home. Just brilliant.
In the same way that Meta believes that just, you know, people will understand what he meant by his vote when he voted for Chuck. So we are here to update you on everything that's happening on the live feeds. I was expecting to come to you and be like, man, there's an HOH competition. There's a whole plan in place. There's a bunch of drama that's happening. There is some drama, but the feeds were down for most of the night. So there's not a whole lot to update overnight. But we do know who the HOH winner is. And there is some interesting news coming from the house. So we'll get to that. There was some stuff that happened before the live eviction, but it was basically just kind of solidifying things. Yesterday morning, John and I spoke about how we kind of felt like, for the most part, it was leaning toward keeping Chuck. But yesterday morning, it leaned the other way. Marissa and Ross just kind of suddenly came around after a night's sleep. They didn't seem as concerned about the optics as much, which, you know, it may or may not come to bite them in the ass. And they end up making a final four deal with James. It's Ross, Shannon, Marissa, and James. Shannon had to be like, okay, James, when you go and talk to them, this is what you need to do. Don't be like, oh yeah, this is my idea. Don't be like, I've masterminded this plan. Just say these words. And it went smoothly enough.
Yeah. Well, this is what's funny about people giving James credit for what happened and for him staying. I mean, yes, he has apparently a likable enough personality when he's not in power, but he did absolutely nothing. So first of all, this deal, this four-person deal, was made without him in the room. Shannon, Ross, and Marissa talked about it in the storage room, and then Shannon went up and told James about it and did the, you know, leading the horse to water with giving him all of the input, everything he needs to say. You need to go to Ross. You need to say X, Y, and Z. And then this sort of came together. And then, you know, feeds cut. We know the result. We know that Chuck is the one who went home. So apparently this deal stuck. And Shannon, Marissa, and Ross were able to get everybody else on board, including Meta World Peace, which, happened. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, so we know that this four-person deal, you know, I don't know how valid it is long term. I know that Ross and Marissa have talked about going against Shannon at certain points. So while this was a deal that I think Shannon potentially believes in, I don't think this is something that's going to last.
Yeah, I very much doubt it as well. I think it's mostly just like, we saved James, so we want to get as much out of him as possible. So we'll make a final four deal and hopefully he sticks to it. It's hard to say exactly what James will do with this. I think that my guess is that he currently plans to, he's like, yeah, rah, 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 like final four deal. I'm all for it. But I don't think Shannon, Ross, or Marissa care nearly as much about it. And I think they're going to treat James the way that they've been treating him, the way that they probably need to treat him to keep him under control. But by doing that, I think he's going to feel like, wow, how come I'm not the mastermind? Like, how come I'm not, like, how come people aren't listening to me? And I think he's going to get a little antsy. And if they leave him to his own devices, he might cause some trouble for him.
Yeah, well, he's a literal baby based on his outfit. But yeah, I can see that. I don't know. It's interesting because James is a person who I think has undergone, or at least what we've seen, sort of a shift in his tone from coming in as this very douche canoe cocky guy to now realizing he's on the bottom. He's got to do something different. And so now that he's part of something, theoretically, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him afterwards. Are we going to see somebody where he's now going to start trying to call the shots because he's not on the bottom anymore? Or, you know, is he going to just be so thankful? I really don't know which way to read this. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Brent on the podcast last night was like doing his utmost to give James some kind of credit. I don't understand Brent sometimes. Maybe he thinks James is cute. I don't know.
I was going to say he's been dickmatized.
Well, like, we literally got it down to like, okay, so James is not so terrible that they won't do the thing that's in their interests in order to, or in order to just like get rid of him because he's so obnoxious. Like, he manages to meet that line. Congratulations.
Bare minimum. That's what he's going for. I love it.
Yes. But I get it. Like, he is giving them exactly what they want in those diary rooms. And I do think his popularity is on the rise. A lot of people, even the people, because I feel like I saw some of those tweets on the screen, like, my baby James is safe. Like
those are the pre-tween, they're the preteen fans, though. I don't know.
He's still got those. But I think he's also gaining some of the people that were like, what a douche canoe. You know, he's entertaining enough.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, while I was sad that Chuck Liddell went home, I was also kind of happy because I think that James is a really interesting person. And he has, just watching his diary rooms from the show, you can see that tonal shift in how he's speaking from this sort of like, oh, I'm going to put my arms back and speak in a very cocky manner to now just, you know, laying on some charm and really trying to figure out where things are and where he falls. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are coming around on him.
Yeah, I feel like I am exactly in Ariadna's position when the feeds came on, I think that very first time. And she was like, you know, I'm kind of coming around on James now that he's not in power. He's a different person. He's a little more humble. And yeah, there you go. His humor works a lot better when he's being self-deprecating and, you know, not like, yeah, you know, I'm like the best singer and like, I'm going to run this game. And
yeah. Oh, I'm like the most humblest person that I know. So.
All right. So we also had a confrontation last night or yesterday, sorry, where Omarosa and Brandy really got into it. We talked about this a bit on the podcast last night. We had the Nintendo and Xbox stuff and the Shady Boots. Lots and lots of, I mean, look, this was a hard thing for, because normally when I do these updates, I do like a recap of the argument and like the points that both sides were making and like all of that stuff. But it's actually difficult for me to recap this kind of argument because there were no points being made. It was just like clever witticisms being thrown back and forth. I don't think I'm very good at that.
What are the clever witticisms?
Yeah.
We know, Darren. No, I'm just kidding.
If somebody told me not to play them like Nintendo, there's no way I would have been like, yo, I play PC. I'm just not built for it.
A PC gamer here, built my own computer. Yeah, that's
damn just great. Banana.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was hilarious though. I love what Brandy is bringing to the table, but you know, it's funny because we sort of are joking about this argument, but I feel like this was potentially the impetus for the cascade of events that happened later. I mean, I know that Shannon and Marissa sort of cited, you know, some other conversations that had happened about deals that were being made with Chuck. But, you know, there was a lot of tension building up and sort of this confrontation almost felt like it kind of pushed it over the edge and really is part of the reason, or maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, as to why James ended up staying.
Yeah. You know, it really again comes down to like, Keisha had told people, we shouldn't talk to Chuck. We shouldn't let's not spill any beans. But she was talking to Chuck a lot and Omarosa was as well. And, you know, that didn't go unnoticed. And Omarosa even came out to Shannon and said, We, you know, Keisha already spoke to Chuck, actually. Don't worry about it. We, we've got this covered. And like, obviously that's going to make Shannon nervous. And then the next day she's saying like, oh yeah, yeah, or the 2 days after that, I don't know when that took place because it wasn't on the feeds. But so, shortly after that, she's telling Shannon, yeah, I would never turn my back against Keisha. She is like my, essentially my number one ally. I would never vote her out. We have this cultural bond. And it's just like, what do you expect people to do when you tell them these are my people and I am never turning on them? And then also, yeah, we've spoken to Chuck, don't worry about it, we've got that covered. Of course she's going to like, you're freely giving that information. So like in Big Brother, people take the information they have and they usually exaggerate it a bit because they assume that people are like underplaying everything that they're telling them. They're lying just a little bit. So you have to assume that there's a lot more going on. So if you're telling her, yeah, we've spoken to Chuck, don't worry about it, that automatically is kind of implying that we've made a deal with them. So like in Shannon's mind, it's like, oh, well, they're aligned, they have a final two, because of course they would.
Yeah, just take it to the extreme. Yeah, and it's funny because we joke about Shannon's paranoia, but you know, I mean, I get it. I get where she's coming from. And to sort of, because Omarosa is straight up telling her this. And you, I know that you've discussed this about Omarosa's honesty and how she's sort of going about it from that perspective because, oh, people are so used to her being shady or, you know, hiding the truth, whatever. So she's just going to be straight outright and tell the truth. But, you know, so when you hear that, of course you're going to respond. Of course you're going to take action. And this is such a short season of Big Brother. You know, I think once you start counting the days, you realize how quickly you have to act and you really do have to play, you know, to the wall going for it. And that makes sense why Shannon made this move.
Yeah, I think it really does. Like you can, like, it's not often that you can really just see like the seeds being planted in every single step along the way as to why a flip happened. Sometimes somebody just kind of wakes up in the middle of the night, aka steps out of the DR and says, you know what, maybe we should flip the house. That really wasn't the case this time. I think you can really trace it all the way back to when it started. And I think we saw it on the show last night. So, you know, some shady boots happened. It's a final four happened, and then a 2-hour eviction episode happened, and Chuck is the one that was evicted from the house. I feel like Chuck really didn't do much wrong. I feel like Chuck did everything right in order to stay here. Even going down to like grabbing the bag, I feel like that was the right thing to do as well. But it's, you know, sometimes Omarosa gets in your way and tanks her own game and your game along with it. And down goes Chuck.
Yeah. I mean, it just so happened that he was the pawn that got sacrificed because really this wasn't a move against him. This was a move, against Omarosa. And so he just had to be the one that got sacrificed. And that's, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I don't think he did anything necessarily outright wrong.
Yeah. I mean, in very much the same way that James had nothing to do with James staying, Chuck had nothing to do with Chuck leaving.
Oh my gosh. I just want to talk about how clueless the guys are. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love it. There was a conversation, or there were two conversations that were happening last night. One was, you know, the sort of Women's Alliance having this conversation, talking about everything that's going on. And you have the guys so confused about everything. It's confused about how the HOH works in the kitchen. Oh my gosh. Just the juxtaposition between the two was really brilliant. I'm loving this season.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the guys this season are a complete mess. Like this was, I feel like normally, at least in the last few seasons, Big Brother has been casting lots of strong women and lots of like weak guys for the most part. And this season in particular, with the addition of Omarosa making the women's number six, it's so lopsided because if these women had decided to stick together, like there were six women, Ross, who immediately jumped ship from the guys, to go over to the Power of the Women, because he had that opportunity. Meta, who doesn't even want to play, which right off the bat makes it 7-3. And then James is James. Chuck is always going to be a low key player. And then Mark, who is the person who like may have been able to do something, is just like left with nobody. like no, nobody to work with. You know, luckily for these guys, you know, the Omarosa Shannon thing happened and now they've got some room to play, but man, are they outclassed.
Oh yeah. They will stay through no actions of their own. I mean, that's really, I think, how it's going to play out. We're going to have these two feuding sides and the guys are just along for the ride, whatever ride that may be, staying in the house, going home. I don't know. But first of all, how dare you say that about Meta World Peace? He is talking about deals. It just so happens those deals are ones that would put him on the block and send him home. Yeah. He's here to play.
Yeah, so we had some great meta moments after the eviction. We discovered that he did in fact try to evict James from the house. He tried to vote to save Chuck. And like, you can immediately see how that happened when you remember back to what happened with Julie when he came in and just immediately started talking, even though we weren't even hearing him yet. Julie doesn't say a word and he's just like, I vote for Chuck. Thank you very much. And he left and he was like, no, I voted for Chuck to stay. And they were like, no, that means you vote to evict. And he's like, that they can't do that. That's not fair.
And I love that he was saying they messed up my vote.
Yeah.
Like this was on production. Like he did the right thing. Production just somehow messed it up. You know, I don't know. He could have been giving a Valentine to Chuck. Maybe that was also part of it. I don't know. But yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. I completely believed it as soon as he came back in because I was really confused when the votes were happening. So what? Oh, my gosh. That's so interesting. Meta, you know, didn't vote with Omarosa. And then, of course, it's because he messed up. But what was hilarious to me was that as he's explaining the fact that production messed up his vote, the other side, Shannon is saying, oh, my gosh, Mark must have talked to him, you know, and gotten him to vote the right way with us. So they're thinking that there was some gameplay at hand. No. Meta just messed up.
Yeah. And I feel like they must have like excused Meta from the rehearsal. We probably only have one good shot at making Meta actually vote. So you go ahead and skip the rehearsal. You only have to do it once. Who is this guy that can't be in a house for 3 weeks and it isn't voting correctly? Where did he get him? Where did he come from?
Well, it's funny because I know that a lot of people have talked about him being a waste of a space, and I totally get that. And I think really I would have agreed with that until I sat down and I realized what he was bringing to the table is just this chaotic mess. And he's sort of the weird kid in the corner who's eating paste, and he's there, and he's probably a wasted space in the classroom, but he's pretty funny and I'm happy that he's there. You know, obviously he's not contributing much to the gameplay or to this season, but you know what? Everybody's got to bring something different. We can't have 11 game bots in the house. We need the distribution. We need different people. And he's just doing his best.
Yeah. You know what? I honestly feel like he is much less a waste of a space than plenty of people from previous casts. I think that, you know, a waste of a space is somebody that just floats along, does nothing.
In the game, mm-hmm.
And then just gets dragged toward the end. Meta is in the house, actively campaigning, working hard, trying to win competitions, and trying to achieve his goal of being evicted. It's certainly a different element of the game, but it's still an element of the game. He's doing something, and he's, you know, not only is he doing entertaining things like voting the wrong way, but he is part of the game. He's something that you have to maneuver around. He's not just dead weight that's being dragged. And that's interesting because Ross has a conversation with Meta after the vote, and He's first he's explaining, like, here's why I flipped. You know, they were saying women to the end, and you know, that just made me feel like, you know, what are they doing with me? Meta doesn't really understand, I think, what Ross is saying. He's like, they refuse to call you a guy? That offends me. And Ross is like, well, I mean, it's not so much that they weren't calling me a guy, but as much as they were saying women should win. He was like, no, I understand how you took it, but here's how I take it. They refuse to call you a guy. That makes me mad. Like, yeah, but Ross, that is upsetting. And Ross is like, okay, All right. Sure.
Oh my gosh. This was, I think, one of my favorite conversations that I've seen so far on the feeds, because it was so confusing and so entertaining. Because so Ross is trying to, like, Ross is a game player. Ross understands the game, and he's trying to make this appeal to meta, right? He's trying to do what Ross thinks is the right thing to do: damage control, and then try to make a deal with meta because we're going into this upcoming HOH. And meta is, but it's weird because it's not like he's talking to a brick wall. He's talking to a wall with a bunch of weird spikes on it. So when Ross throws the ball at it, it like bounces back in a very bizarre direction. So he's still sort of playing with him, but it's just, it's not going the way Ross expects. And so Ross sort of tries to start making this deal with meta about, okay, look, if you win HOH and you work with us, I promise you, you'll be the next person on the block. And he's like talking about the days. He's like, okay, so we have an eviction on Monday, and then by Thursday, you would be gone. And this is his appeal to him. And then Meta's like, I can't take that deal.
Yeah.
Actively, oh my gosh, it was so bizarre. And then by the end, Meta just says, I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. I was listening to myself.
You know, like, I've had conversations with people who clearly don't listen to me, and I think, you know, good for Meta for admitting it and just like putting it out there. You know what? I wasn't listening. That would make me feel a little more comfortable with that conversation.
Well, it's funny because he says, I wasn't listening. And then Ross is, first of all, confused because what is happening? And then Ross goes to repeat what it is that he was saying and what he was explaining. And Meta just keeps repeating, I wasn't listening. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you weren't listening. Well, now you can start listening. Like, you've come to the self-actualization and realization that you were not listening. Okay, now what? Like, what is the next logical step? It's to listen. Oh my gosh.
Let me make myself a little more clear. I couldn't listen. What you're saying is just really complicated and boring. You can keep saying it all you want, but I'm going to continue to not listen.
I think I'm learning a lot about communication from Meta World Peace. I think I'm just going to start doing that. I'm sorry, Taryn. What you're saying is really boring, and I wasn't/don't care.
If everyone could learn communication from World Peace, I think we'd have a lot more world peace.
That's right. Yes, we would have much more world peace, says a man with literally this was a couple episodes ago, wearing a hat that says world peace. We're going to war. Brilliant.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, Ross is legitimately trying to bargain with Meta, saying, listen, we can't take you out in the next eviction, but we'll take you out in the eviction immediately after, we promise. And Meta is like, that's not good enough. It needs to be the next one. I need to go home Monday night. And Ross is like, but I can't do that. I'm sorry. It would have to be Friday. And Meta's just like, no, if it's not next time, then I'm winning that HOH. I'm going to put up Shannon and James. And Ross is like, why would you do that? And he's like, that would be a personal victory that I could take those people out of the game before I go home. And Ross is like, well, listen, do you plan on voting for Shannon or James? If I was in the, theoretically, if I was in the final two with either Shannon or James, who'd you vote for? And Meta's like, oh, I would vote for you. I'm not going to vote for them. And Ross is like, well, that's perfect. That's how you get them to not win the game. And Meta's just like, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I'll vote for you. But no, I'm still trying to win this HOH. I'm still going to go after them. you know, Ross does theoretically secure a jury vote here. He inadvertently convinces Meta that he was justified in flipping, but he isn't able to convince Meta to not work with Keisha and Omarosa, and he can't convince Meta to not try in the HOH competition. So there's some good and some bad in this conversation, but overall, a very entertaining conversation.
Oh, yeah. Very confusing. It's, and sort of Ross is realizing how he needs to change his strategy. And, you know, when we talk about jury management, like, This is important when you are dealing with a person who wants to leave. How do you secure, or wants to, you know, take out people? How do you secure their jury votes? Apparently, yeah, this is the way to do it.
Ross is the, I mean, at least as far as we saw, because given, well, people didn't have much opportunity afterward, but Ross is the only one so far to have even explained himself to Meta. And Meta is somebody who is not like necessarily personally offended by the flip. He didn't like it, but he is the one that is most receptive to hearing the explanation as to why. And again, like, Ross didn't get across like what he was trying to get across when he was explaining himself, but he got something across which connected to Meta, and I think that's big. I think that's gonna be a very effective thing when it comes to the jury.
I mean, maybe he got something across. Genuinely, I don't know. I mean, Meta could have thrown out that deal and thrown out what Ross said the same way that he threw out the DVDs that production gave him to watch.
I could just see Meta going to vote and being like, you know, I was mad about the things that you did, Ross, but they refused to call you a guy, and that's just not right. So I'm going to vote for you.
Yeah, that's the one part that I know he understood. I don't know what it means or what he will do with that information, but he got that bit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Omarosa and Keisha, and Meta was part of this in the beginning as well, steaming about this flip, not happy. Omarosa saying, yet again, the women have fallen apart. The women can't work together. And she's also upset. She feels like this is racially motivated. She feels like, look at what this looks like. And that's probably what it is. And she's not afraid to say it, both to the feeds and to the players themselves. And I'm sure she's saying it in the diary room.
Yeah. So there's sort of the two things to unpack there. One is, and women can't work together, and Omarosa, you know, really driving it home that Women's Alliance fell apart again. It's like, well, first of all, you're part of the reason why it fell apart. You know, you're the one just sowing all of the dissension in the ranks. So obviously something's going to happen. But then the other thing, yeah, is framing it like she is the one who's framing this narrative and trying to make it about race and make it something that is, you know, the white girl alliance. And I think it was something that I don't know if I heard it, but Brandy said that Omarosa said it, you know, I hope you and your white girl alliance is happy, which then is funny because Ari's not white and Ross is a man.
Yeah.
But well, yeah,
you call him a guy.
That's right. That's right. Again, yeah, he's really just part, you know, he's not there. That's what Meta would say. So it is interesting to see. And she really does seem to be hammering this home and repeating this several times and really making it a race thing. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this ends up edited together between what we see on the show or what, you know, what actually happens in the house and then what's going on in the diary rooms.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it's funny because I think I saw a lot of comments like on Reddit and people on Twitter, like when they were initially talking about the optics and how this might not look good if we make this move, a lot of people were like, they're being overly sensitive. Why are they so concerned about this? Certainly people will understand that that's not where their motivations are coming from. And then I saw a lot of people like, well, I was wrong to think that they were crazy to think that, because look at what Omarosa is saying. Of course it's going to come up. Like, we live in this, not only do we live in this day and age, but, you know, Omarosa is there in the first place. And I think Omarosa is even more motivated, to use whatever she can, whether it's justified or not. And, you know, from my perspective, I really am kind of looking at this as an Omarosa thing more so than anything else, because Omarosa is the person that framed it in these terms in the first place. And that she's the one that pulled in those people for that specific reason in the first place. And then was very blatant about it, told people, this is what I'm doing. And obviously that's not going to benefit anyone that's not a part of that. So when they turned on her, she was like, whoa, now this is racially motivated. That's what I see. I think that there's obviously more involved. It's not something that you can completely discount. If this was not Omarosa, if she hadn't framed it in these terms in the first place, I'd be a lot more wary of the situation than I am currently. And that's just my, you know, ignorant perspective.
I mean, it did sort of start from here. I mean, when we talk about framing the narrative, that's Omarosa is the one driving that. I will say, if you take a step back and you simply look at the situation, yeah, the optics are not great. I think then you start to dig into it and you start to see, okay, there's reasonings why, you know, why this fell apart the way it did, and why these people took certain actions, you know, whether or not there's implicit bias. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about anything. But I will say that, you know, whatever Omarosa is doing, whether or not this is, she truly believes it was racially motivated, or she's, you know, using this to sort of push a certain image, I think that that's really interesting. I mean, the people who are self-actualized in the house and who are so calculating are so much fun to watch. And so trying to understand what is Omarosa doing? Why is she doing this? Is she really offended? And this goes along with the whole White House Trump situation also. You know, why is it that she's saying these things? Is it because she truly feels this way? Is there some ulterior motive? And so, you know, it's an interesting situation, and I think it's going to be I'm curious to see how ultimately all of this is perceived and how it's edited on the show.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't know a whole lot about Omarosa outside of her stint in the Big Brother house. I've had some people message me who are more knowledgeable about the African-American community, as saying that she has really done some things to earn the ire of that community, and that she has motivation to want to win back some favor, so to speak, to appear to be very like gung-ho about it. So, you know, let me know if that's true or not. Continue to message me, give me more information, because I am ignorant about many things in this conversation. So, you know, all I can comment on is what I'm seeing on Big Brother. But anyway, so she gets into the argument. She says, like, go back to your white girl alliance. This is obviously a bit upsetting for those people. But she ends up getting into an argument with Shannon, where she confronts Shannon and says, how could you do this? We were aligned. You know, you're making the women's alliance fall apart. You are a scheming, conniving, mean girl, just like you were afraid to be. Like, this is Omarosa, right? Like, she was like, you told me in confidence that you were afraid of being the mean girl, and guess what? You are. I know your weaknesses, and I'm going to point out that this is exactly what you were afraid of becoming. Man, seeing Omarosa at work is just like, wow.
There is something about the way she speaks, both in her conversations with people and in the diary room, this quiet confidence. And, you know, whether or not it's the perpetual I'm speaking down to you, or just her mannerisms and her way of speaking, I'm captivated, you know, by what she's doing in the house. And it's really funny because Shannon starts to get upset and Shannon starts to raise her voice. And then Omarosa says, you're yelling. And just continues to speak this way. I feel like she could write an dog obedience book for some reason. Omarosa could. Like, this is sort of the way. It's just this very straightforward, calm manner of speaking, but it's just so direct and has such an impact on people. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. If Brent started talking to me like, no, listen, Taryn, here's why you're wrong and here's why I'm right, I'd be so mortified. What is happening? I don't understand. It would be terrible. It's a very effective means of argument, I think.
Yeah, well, she learned the best deal making strategies from the best deal maker that we know. I really think there are things to learn from Omarosa that I think I want to try to implement in my life when it comes to getting my way. I will study her. This will be great.
Keisha ends up joining in that argument. She says, there was no firm deal with Chuck. I never promised him anything, which is true for the most part. Like, they had a conversation. She was planning on making more firm deals with Chuck, but there wasn't any like solid alliance or anything. It's something that's like technically true, but in the spirit of what Shannon was going for, she was kind of correct. So, you know, the whole argument is, I don't think anyone's really in the right here, necessarily.
Yeah, and, well, and perception is reality, right? Mm-hmm. So if Shannon perceived it that way, of course she's going to take action.
Right. And Omarosa made many good TV references. I'm going to make good TV. Just they want good TV, I'll give them good TV. So are we looking at is Omarosa I forgot her name. Who's the good TV?
Oh, from Big Brother Canada.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know. It's
how did
too
I forget
early.
Her name?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Omarosa, I mean, she even said revenge is a dish best served cold or something like that before she ended up going into the diary room. I think she's a person who she knows why she's here. She knows why she's here for a couple of reasons, whether or not it's to rehabilitate her image. I read somewhere that she's pushing a book or something like that, or is going to be writing a book or something like that. And so is going for publicity, but then also just to be good for the show. It's going to be really interesting to see where she goes from here. And, you know, she didn't have that yelling, screaming match that I think a lot of us were anticipating. So how she's going to make good TV, I don't know yet. We'll have to see how it goes and things like that.
Omarosa is Sabrina was the name. Omarosa is like Sabrina from Big Brother Canada 2, who is like, "You want good TV? I'll give you good TV." Only like evil genius mastermind version of Sabrina, who's like, "You want good TV? I'll give you good TV." Looking forward to that. Hopefully. Because we had the HOH competition and the feeds were down most of the night. When they came back up, Omarosa was nowhere to be found. And we discovered that's because she has been sent to the hospital.
Yes, she is on Christmas vacation. And yes, I am talking about the Big Brother player. she apparently is at least getting some sort of medical treatment. She's in the hospital. We know very little about the situation, but we know that Marissa apparently seems to be the one who put her there because Marissa literally says, "I put her in the hospital."
So we know the it was the spinny bowling competition. So people are theorizing that maybe Marissa like accidentally like hit Omarosa with one of the bowling balls. I don't know how that's possible, but maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, something that would warrant going to the hospital for. I mean, I'm sure that the show is going to take extra precaution with the celebrities because they're, you know, celebrities. You know, even though people argue that they're not celebrities, I think they're getting, especially Omarosa, right? She's going to get some extra treatment. If it was the ballerina bowling competition, I'm just trying to theorize, like, think about all of the ways that she could have gotten injured, that Marissa could have injured Omarosa, threw a bowling ball at her, ran into her, knocked her over. I don't know. We don't really know what happened just because we got these little snippets of Marissa and Ross talking. But we know that Marissa had some sort of impact and is the reason why Omarosa is in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just been a figure of speech, and it was maybe that, like, when Omarosa was head-to-head against Marissa, you know, she hurt herself, or she, like, passed out because she was, you know, too dizzy or something. It could be all kinds of things, but the headline is Ross has won the HOH, and he will be in charge. I assume, assuming Omarosa comes back, which I very much, I think Marissa was like, she's going to be okay. She's coming back. I assume his target will be Omarosa, and he will probably put up Keisha next to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although we don't have confirmation of that, I completely believe that that's what he's going to do. And I think at first, I was like, oh no, Ross, because I'm rooting for Ross. I want him to do well. And when I saw he on HOH, I was like, no, Pumpkin, no, don't do that. But I think this is a good time for him to win. I think that he's on pretty good terms with most people in the house. Omarosa has said that she wanted to take out Ross. So, of course, you know, it makes sense for him to go after her. And so I think that this is a time where he can get somebody out who's directly targeting him and not really get on the bad side of anyone else in the house. So I think that this makes sense for him actually moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Ross wants to do with this week is he wants, like the perception that he should want is he should want people to be coming to him being like, don't just listen to what Shannon is telling you to do. Come on. Like, you can do your own thing. And Ross should be like, I don't know. I feel like this might be the best decision. And then, you know, take Omarosa out. And then by next week, it's still like Shannon is the boss. We need to get rid of Shannon. She is in control of everything. And then, you know, Shannon probably gets taken out somewhere along the line. And you don't have to deal with the perception that you were her minion. And then, you know, if you absolutely have to, because the really the only downside to this play is that people might think, oh, well, Ross was just listening to Shannon. We should give Shannon the money at the end. But it's not likely that you're going to be there with Shannon at the final two. And even if you are, you still have a chance to argue like, no. I was the secret mastermind behind Shannon. I was the one that got her to not use the veto in the first place. And this is an interesting season because they're going to get to watch. They're going to get to watch the DRs. They're going to get to watch the live feeds. They're not going to watch the live feeds. yeah. But hey, maybe they'll listen to these podcasts as a way to keep up and, you know, vote for the person at the end.
yeah, that's not half spoiler alert. That's not going to happen.
I feel like Ross wants to keep Shannon in the spotlight and honestly keep James in the spot, because Omarosa was also talking about like, you guys, when James wins this thing, you're going to be so annoyed. Like they still see James as a bit of a threat. So if you can make it seem like Shannon and James are the power couple and you are just doing their bidding right now, I think that's exactly where Ross wants to be.
Yeah, I think you definitely still want Shannon out in front as your meat shield. And so if he can do that and keep Shannon as the one who is seen as making all the decisions, even though this really benefits Ross, you know, more than anyone, I think that is a really good play for him, because there's still time then to shift, you know, his narrative to be about, oh no, I was the one who's actually making the decisions. Then once Shannon went home, I ran the game, whatever he, you know, is going to end up wanting to do. And he did mention to Meta in that very bizarre Meta conversation that he mentioned wanting to go to the end with someone weird, like Brandy or Marissa, and whether, you know, I actually believe that. I think that that's something that he, it would want to do. And so by keeping Shannon out in front, he actually doesn't care if he loses her. And if she ends up going home. So this, you know, if he is able to play it that way, I think that that's the best move for him.
Yes. So, you know, we're probably going to get some more information about Ross's plans about, Omarosa potentially returning from the hospital. We'll see all that happen today. I will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens there. It's a lot of the information I thought I was going to give you today, but you know, things happen. So make sure you check that out. Of course, we'll be live again. I think it's tomorrow night, for another episode recap. Man, this thing, there's an episode every other day.
this is like some weird Big Brother bender that I feel like I'm on. I'm loving every second of it, but I'm not going to remember it when it's over.
So make sure you check that all out. Leona, was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Nope, I don't think so. It's going to be interesting to see what the fallout is. And once we actually start seeing, you know, all of the conversations that are going to happen today, whether or not Omarosa comes back, which I assume she will, all of that should hopefully play out, you know, in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, and I want to again reiterate, like, these fallout weeks after a big move happens or a big flip happens, they're usually just like, we're following through. You know, we did a flip. Now we got to follow through. We got to take another person out. It's usually one of the slower weeks in Big Brother, but it's only going to be a couple days here, and then who knows what happens afterwards. So I'm excited to see what this new pace does to the game. But again, like, I think that flip doesn't happen if there wasn't a whole week beforehand. So I think there's room for both here for sure. But excited to see how this all plays out. Make sure you subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups, where you can get this podcast and plenty of the other Big Brother coverage. We're going to be doing LFC roundtables. You got the Taryn show on there, where I talked to Leon herself right here, and plenty of other Big Brother players and Survivor players, and you know, lots of stuff. RuPaul Drag Race, yes that Leona,
hello.
the Challenge, the Bachelor, it's all it's it's all there. You just subscribe to the whole thing and don't listen to the ones that you don't want to listen to.
Thanks, Darren. That's great. Well, yeah.
Not everyone watches all the shows, unless you're a person that does watch all the shows, in which case, go for it. But it's just easier if you get it all in one place. So make sure you check that out and check us out tomorrow morning. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can follow Liana on Twitter at Liana Boris with two A's.
Yes, two A's. A A S.
We will see you next time.